The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
You find me this week in the bowels of Western House, next door to Broadcasting House in London W1. It's the home of Radio 2 and 6 Music and the Asian Network. And for a few days next week, it's going to be the home of a new radio station, a pop-up radio station. And it's the brainchild of Brett Spencer, who's the head of digital for all those aforementioned networks. Brett, a Eurovision pop-up radio station. Whose idea was it, and what's the point?
The point is, and I hesitate at the term radio station, because actually this is really about doing more Radio 2 and providing more of what Radio 2 listeners enjoy, but on different platforms. So from next week, people will be able to hear this this pop-up service providing a whole range of content around the Eurovision Song Contest on platforms they perhaps don't necessarily listen to Radio 2 on. So we're going to offer this on digital radio, on DAB, we're going to offer it on the Radio 2 website and also the iPlayer radio app. And that's really because, you know, at the moment 62% of our listeners consume us on FM, and we're trying to get them to listen to us on different platforms. I mean, you and I have sat in many conferences, Trevor, and heard that we're only at 34% digital listenership. So hopefully something like this will help a few of those people come over and listen to digital for maybe the first time.
I think a lot of people would be surprised that when you talk about content, there are going to be programmes. I mean, I had expected it would just sort of be a few Eurovision hits circulating around on some kind of playlist, but you've got real programmes here.
This is a proper full Radio 2 schedule, which is what you would expect from the network, with the depth and the breadth of content that you would expect from Radio 2. And a lot of that is based around our current programming. So one of the things I'm quite excited about is there are special editions of Sound of the 60s with Brian Matthew, and Sound of the 70s with Johnny Walker, and Sarah Cox's Sound of the 80s that are Eurovision-based. There are extra programmes by Ken Bruce and by Graham Norton. Terry Wogan will present a programme about the history of the Irish. Michael Ball's doing a special programme interviewing lots of previous Eurovision entrants. So it's about the richness of Radio 2 and providing more of that. It's not about sort of, you know, round-the-clock Eurovision music.
Will you be talking about it, you know, in major Radio 2 programmes? I mean, is the whole point of it to make people who are currently listening to Radio 2 thinking, oh, there's something for me on this other channel?
Absolutely, and we will do, as television does, there will be pointers throughout the day on Radio 2 which will say, and now a choice of listening. You can hear Jeremy Vine on Radio 2, or you can turn over and listen to Paddy O'Connell live from Copenhagen on Radio 2 Eurovision.
Now, how does this work technically? I mean, is there just a lot of bandwidth sitting out there on DAB that you can just pop along and purchase, or do you own it already? I mean, how does that work?
It's about taking the amount of bandwidth the BBC has, having a bit less in some places, a bit more in others, to make it work technically. So there's some negotiation that has to go on to get that done. It's complicated.
Does that mean that there's one or two stations are broadcasting on, you know, smaller bandwidth than normal for your 4 or 5 days?
But I would hope that people wouldn't notice. There is less, but not so people in large numbers will necessarily notice that.
That's quite an interesting thing, because pop-up radio is a great idea, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't we all like to do this more? Is it technically feasible?
It's technically feasible. It's a lot of work to get it on those platforms, and it's a lot of work to arrange a programme schedule of this nature, if that makes sense. And obviously one of the things we're doing is we're going to sort of, you know, rob our own audience, if you like, to send them somewhere else. So you won't want to do it all of the time. And I think the important thing is we're doing this around a particular event. So it's something that is uniquely BBC, if you like, the Eurovision Song Contest. It's not something the commercial marketplace provides. And it's also enormously popular. And one of the things that I think people are excited about is the amount of content around Eurovision, which has a huge fan base that we can provide in this sort of way by providing more of Radio 2 and using that extra bandwidth.
Because people are going to say, how much more is this costing the BBC?
We're only sending one additional person to Copenhagen that wasn't originally travelling there for the BBC. And all of the presenting talent that you will hear on air from Copenhagen was already there in some capacity.
You talked about it being an extension of what Radio 2 does, and obviously I understand that. If we're going to drive people to digital radio, and as you said, this is also on other platforms, including the web, but if we are going to make more people think that having a DAB set is a good idea, we have got to do more of this, haven't we?
Well, I've always thought content is the thing that's going to drive people. People did not go out and get a Sky dish because they fancied having a satellite dish on their roof, did they? They went out because Sky bought Premiership Football and they bought things like Friends and ER and 24 at their peak. So the success of satellite television was driven by content. And while, you know, we've got some fantastic digital radio stations, I mean, here we sit in the building that Six Music and Asian Network comes from, it's an interesting test here to see if we can take something like Radio 2, which has 15, 16 million listeners, and try and use some of that strength to bring people over to digital.
Wouldn't it be great if commercial radio did more of this as well?
It would be great if everybody did it. I think it's an industry responsibility to create more content on these digital platforms. But obviously, you know, commercial radio in a position where they're having to pay transmission costs on a multiple of platforms already for what they're currently doing.
Can I ask you, because you've got the word digital in your title, and I think I probably thought that that might not have lasted this long. Isn't digital just what we do in radio now?
I think it is, but I think my job personally, I think, is to look at how we can expand radio and use our content in as many digital forms and digital places as possible to both help us for the future in terms of DAB and the longevity of radio listening and bringing it to new audiences that are consuming it on those platforms. I mean, how many people listening to this programme got a radio for Christmas, do you think? I bet not many. How many of them got an iPad for Christmas? Or another well-known tablet, should we say? Probably a lot, and that's what they're going to be consuming radio on in the future.
Is it then at the heart of what you do? I mean, here in, you know, the biggest radio station in the UK, you know, you don't, in a sense, have to bother with any of this. You can just be a conventional radio station. When you're commissioning programmes, when you're talking about what's in the schedule this weekend, what's, you know, on at Christmas or in the summer holidays or whatever, is the digital offering, the web offering, the online offering at the heart of now of what you think about?
I think it has to be, and we've seen the companies that have made that mistake where it hasn't been at the heart of their digital offering, you know, the Kodaks and the Barnes & Nobles and people like that who are no longer in business. And there is a sense of, do we have to do all of the stuff that we're doing? Maybe not. But if we don't, in 5 years' time, there'll be a room full of people asking why we didn't.
And is that, do you think, something that the whole of BBC Radio is equally interested in? I mean, you've got a particular problem, haven't you, that perhaps Radio 1 doesn't have, because they've already got a digitally online literate audience and yours is a bit older than that. But is BBC Radio across the board embracing this kind of be everywhere strategy?
I don't think there is necessarily the same strategy for every network. I mean, I used to work at 5 Live, and when I was at 5 Live, I saw my role there as using digital tools to bring new ears to listen to 5 Live, to consume that radio station. At Radio 2, that's not what I'm trying to do, because we have quite a lot of listeners. I'm trying to get those listeners to listen on different platforms and engage more with the brand. So I don't think any of the radio stations necessarily have the same strategy, because they're not necessarily trying to achieve exactly the same things.
Remind us, when is it called Radio 2 Eurovision? When does it take to the air?
Radio 2 Eurovision kicks off on Thursday the 8th of May at midday with 90 minutes of Paddy O'Connell, and there'll be highlights of the first semi-final that day and the second semi-final live. Another highlight of that day is David Quantick's Blagger's Guide to Eurovision, which I think you'll enjoy. And we're on air from midday to midnight, from Thursday through till Sunday, apart from on Saturday morning when we start at 10 o'clock, so we can simulcast Graham Norton live from Copenhagen on Radio 2.
And UK still won't win, will we?
We've got a pretty good chance this year, I think, Trevor. I think, you know, Molly can really sing, and it's a really good song. And while I haven't heard all of the other entries, I think, you know, I think we're going to be up there this year.
Well, we wish Molly well, and we wish you well with Radio 2 Eurovision. Brett Spencer, thank you for talking to the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. Here's Roy Martin with this week's news.
Thank you, Trevor. Radio 1 has announced its big weekend lineup. Everyone from Coldplay to Katy Perry and Lily Allen will be performing. All 50,000 tickets were given away on air and online in just 35 minutes. Nick Grimshaw was voted the most annoying radio host in a new survey. It also showed Chris Evans is the most popular person to wake up to, with Radio 2 the most popular radio station, as with Radar. But this is according to the 2,000 people questioned in a recent survey. And Heart expands to an additional 2 million people after the bank holiday weekend. the brand finally takes over the real radio stations in Wales, Scotland and England's northwest, northeast and Yorkshire on May the 6th at 6 a.m. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
uk-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
uk-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Time for some radio moments. Here's David.
100 years of radio. Radio moments.
Tears at Capital this week, 9 years ago.
I tell you, the DJs obviously have changed over the years, and the songs changed, the bosses changed, but the station doesn't change. It's still Capital, and let's be honest, it is one of the greatest radio stations on the planet. You know it because you listen to it every single day. And for 18 years, I have loved being part of this every day.
Neil Fox concluding his last show for Capital London this week in 2005. And little did he imagine he'd get breakfast down the road at Magic and stay there forever. No tears for this man.
Germany will live. No coercion. No oppression. No measures of tyranny that any foreign foe can introduce will shatter Germany. And therefore I say to you, in these last words, you may not hear from me again.
The voice of William Joyce, or Lord Haw-Haw, the wartime propaganda broadcaster who transmitted on frequencies around the world, including those of Radio Luxembourg. He made that last broadcast in a drunken state this week in 1945. He was hanged the following year. BBC Radio Derby officially launched this week in 1971, but it had been on air 2 months earlier to cover the big local story of Rolls-Royce going into receivership. In the premature phase of broadcasting, it had temporary premises actually on the FM transmitter site.
This is BBC Radio Derby on 96.5 MHz VHF, broadcasting to Derby, Derbyshire and South East Staffordshire. The Derby Ram, played by the Derby Concert Orchestra, welcomes you to the
happy 43rd anniversary, BBC Radio Derby. And staying with BBC locals, what's the time?
1 minute to nine. This is Prelude with Gina Madgett and Nigel Turner. We've nearly gone, but in just 1 minute's time, BBC Radio Cambridgeshire will be officially opened by the chairman of the BBC, George Howard. We'll be going live to the opening ceremony, where the events will be described for us by our commentator, Joe Dobry, as the BBC's 25th local radio station starts broadcasting officially.
Well, that was our station signature tune, which I hope will become a very familiar sound to you over the next few months, played with great gusto there by the musicians of the 1st Battalion, Norfolk, Suffolk and Cambridgeshire, the Royal Anglian Regiment based at Oakington, playing
the sound of 1982 and the launch of BBC Radio Cambridgeshire, then on air just a few hours each day. The station was to bring us Emma Freud and Chris Morris too. It's 15 years this week since Jill Dando was murdered. Jill had been appointed by John Lilly at BBC Devon in 1985 after a spell in hospital radio. John Burt was BBC Director General back then. He spoke about Jill.
Somebody you were always pleased to see. You know, I often saw Jill. I saw her in the course of my duties. She often helped us with corporate events. She came to. She was a good BBC soldier. She always turned up and she always turned out. She believed in the BBC. But I'm sure my feelings about Jill were the same as everybody else's. You know, your heart leapt when you saw her. She was always a person you were really pleased to see.
John Burt on Jill Dando, who was killed this week in 1999. Happy birthday this week to one of the most famous voices in the world.
Here we go with the top 40 hits in the nation this week on American Top 40, the best-selling and most played songs from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood, and in the next 3 hours, we'll count down the 40 most popular hits in the United States this week. Hot off the record charts.
Happy 82nd birthday to Casey Kasem, who hosted the American Top 40 from 1970 for decades. And that program was carried on frequencies around the world. And of course, back in those days, before Radio 1 FM or any commercial radio, we used to listen to it here too, crackling through on AM. Casey was also the voice of Shaggy in the cartoon Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo!
1993, and the launch this week of Britain's second national commercial radio station.
Well, the radio revolution is about to happen. I'm very excited. In fact, the whole of my body is very excited at this moment. I'm going to have a quick cold shower. It is officially midday, and Richard Branson will officially launch Virgin 1215, the UK's new national radio station, in exactly 15 minutes.
10 minutes and counting to the radio revolution. 10 minutes and counting to the official launch.
Hello to everyone here in Manchester and across the UK. It's 12:15 on Friday, April 30th, 1993. A date which will go down, we hope, in broadcasting history. I'm Richard Branson, and this is the radio station I've always wanted to hear. I hope you'll find it the station you too have always wanted to hear. Virgin 12:15 is now officially on the air!
Well, good afternoon. This is Richard.
The launch of Richard Branson's Virgin, carried back then just on the old Radio 3 and Radio 1 medium wave frequencies. Branson was a bit of a rebel in his day, as was the Liverpool man who this week in 1975 was convicted for displaying a Radio Caroline car sticker. The charge was under Section 5, Subsection 3, Paragraph F of the Marine and Broadcasting Offences Act 1967, and that was all about publishing an advertisement of matter calculated to promote directly or indirectly the interests of a business whose interests consist in or include the operation of a station from which broadcasts are or are to be so made. He didn't pay his fine, and he went to jail for 60 days for a car sticker. 1923, and this week the new BBC studios at Savoy Hill, just up the Strand, were officially opened.
As chairman of the British Broadcasting Company, and on the occasion of the opening of our new London studio, I am glad to have the opportunity of saying a few words to our many thousands of listeners in throughout the country. The Broadcasting Company is not a monopoly. Last year, the manufacturers of wireless apparatus met together as it was realized that broadcasting would have to be controlled by one broadcasting authority if the chaos which today is so obvious in America were to be avoided here.
So, with Heart beginning some modest program sharing on its network of three stations 6 years ago, the first FM transmitters switched on from Kent 59 years ago, the first Wagoner's Walk broadcast on Radio 2 45 years ago, and John Peel's 25,000 record collection going on show 2 years ago.
Undertones and Teenage Kicks, what a treat.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, and congratulations on 4 years of Radio Moments. I've been Trevor at trevordan.com. This has been the Radio Today programme produced by TDC. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking to Bauer about their new academy. And, of course, the following week we'll be at the Radio Academy Awards. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.